Great to have you with us here on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. We're turning our attention to Wisconsin's wild turkeys and the history of those turkeys. It's a great story. And here to help us out, Paul Smith, outdoors editor for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And as we talk with Paul, I hope you'll join in. Want to hear from you. Have you helped to conserve wild turkeys in our state? What do you know about their reintroduction? A story to share relating to wild turkeys. I think, frankly, everybody I know has an experience to share, whether they were hunters or not, with wild turkeys, because they're everywhere in our state. You can give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Email to talk@wpr.org. Paul Smith, welcome to the show. Great to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Larry. Great to be with you today.
I tell you, before we get into the history, you know, just recently on Basketball Hill, on the UW campus, you know, normally we have pink flamingos once a year, but this year we had something different.
We did. This year is the 50th anniversary of this extremely successful wild turkey reintroduction to Wisconsin. So we've been planning something special. And together with a friend of mine, Alexander Pendleton of Shorewood, he goes by Sandy, but Sandy was a freshman in 1979 when 1,000 pink flamingos were placed on Bascom Hill. And that's well known as a prank. And Sandy, over the years, he graduated from UW, but became, like many of us, a wild turkey hunter and a fan of the bird. And a few years ago, he and I were corresponding, and he suggested, why don't we do something to recognize this extraordinary success of this native bird in the state. And instead of putting plastic pink exotic birds on Bascom Hill, why don't we get some turkey decoys and put them on and make it part of our celebration? And what a great idea. And we started talking with the National Wild Turkey Federation chapters in the state. And we got approval from the University of Wisconsin, which the kids in 1979 did not get. That was a prank. We went about it. We got approval, and we had a celebration on Sunday, May 17th, and we followed it up with a lunch and some programming in the student union. It was a fantastic day to celebrate this native bird.
I think what a really cool idea. I love that. I love that story. Before we get into the history, Brandon in New Lisbon has a quick story for us about wild turkeys. Let's just go there. Hi, Brandon.
Howdy. Yeah, I was this last week I was on the back roads just cruising the ditch lines looking for some wild asparagus, doing about 30, 40 miles an hour. Not really paying attention to what was in front of me, and there was a whole flock of turkeys in the road, and by the time I looked up, I clipped. Luckily, I only hit a little one. It cracked my bumper, but there was just a whole flock in the road.
Yeah. Not unusual sight, is it, Paul?
From downtown Milwaukee to the north woods of Wisconsin, the shores of Lake Superior, this wild turkey now is found everywhere. And typically the flocks are seen in late summer and fall through the winter. This time of year, the birds are mating and the hens are laying eggs and hatching young, but it's not unusual. No, everyone has turkeys near them. When the turkey was reintroduced, the biologist in Wisconsin thought that they could do well from a line approximately Eau Claire to Green Bay, south of that line. Carl Batha, who was a tremendous DNR biologist, he got his master's degree at the University of Missouri, specializing in wild turkey management. He passed away a couple years ago, was a tremendous asset to our state for a long time. Well, he was on this program, and he told me in an interview in 2017 that he had egg on his face because the wild turkey did so much better even north of that line. So we have them in all 72 counties, yes. And as the story just was told there, it's not uncommon to encounter them anywhere.
Carl was a great guy. I have talked to him many times on this program. You know, and that's, and I want to talk some more about the recent history, but I even want to go back further to the 1800s. We were trying to get turkeys back. In the first place, we had them, but then we lost them.
You know, Larry, the history of wildlife in our country and our state is endlessly fascinating. There's a lot of positive, hopeful lessons we can take from these success stories. But through the 1800s, many species really declined in number. And that included the elk in Wisconsin. We had bison in Wisconsin and wild turkeys, as an example. All three of those species disappeared. The last known wild turkey was killed in 1881 near Darlington, Wisconsin, according to DNR records. And then many decades passed before any reintroductions were attempted. And all of the early ones were done with game farm birds, and they didn't have the wild instincts to survive. So they really weren't successful until 1976, when the DNR wildlife specialists had learned enough and had seen what had happened in other states to enter into this program with the state of Missouri. And it was a trade, three Wisconsin ruff grouse for one Missouri wild turkey. And on January 21st, 1976, 29 wild turkeys were flown from the Ozark Mountains of Missouri to the La Crosse Airport. One of the reasons we did the celebration at UW, Larry, is that there was a UW professor named Tom Yule. He was a wildlife disease expert. He was present to receive those turkeys. He gave them a health check. He took blood from each one of them, and then they were given the blessing and taken to a farm near Romance in Vernon County and released. That was the first of several transfers from Missouri. But yes, they went forth and have done just so extremely well. Arguably the greatest native wildlife restoration in state history.
Yeah, and one of the best anywhere in our states, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I can't think of another success story greater than this one right off the top of my head.
Yeah, well, when you have a species that was here to begin with, and now is found in, like in the Arboretum in Madison, on campus, in cities, in suburbs, in the wilds, it's really done well. And knock on wood, future generations of Wisconsinites will be able to enjoy seeing them, and even hunting them.
And in the meantime, other states have had varying successes. I think, I think our system is when it comes to hunting, for example, is much better than exists elsewhere in some other states.
I grew up in the state, Larry, learning to hunt. And there were no wild turkeys when I was a kid learning.
No, me either.
And that's true with many people. There was no turkey hunting tradition in the state. So I remember when I learned to hunt, I took a course offered by the DNR and the National Wild Turkey Federation. And then I just bought a simple call and I went out and tried. And I felt foolish because I was doing something that I really knew nothing about. And I was making these squawks on a little push button box call and not getting any response. I remember the first time I got a response, there was a gobbler about 100 yards from me. And when a wild turkey gobbles that close to you, you can feel it in your chest. I mean, it's just earth moving. It's just such a tremendous. Anyway, when that bird gobbled at me finally after several days of trying, I stood up and threw my arms in the air and said, yes. You know, I didn't care if I scared the bird away. I finally knew that I was having a contact with this bird. It was transformational in Wisconsin, Larry. We didn't have any spring hunting. Suddenly we were hunting a native species that had been reintroduced in the spring when the wildflowers are blooming, when the warblers are migrating through. And this bird talks to you. It was something that just like unlike anything we had, and it's also really good to eat. I love eating wild turkey, so it was transformational. Other states, though, had much more liberal regulations, and Wisconsin, I want to say I'm biased, but it is the gold standard for how we run our turkey hunting. Everyone can get a tag if they want one. But we limit that hunting pressure and we spread it across the landscape and also by time. So it really allows these birds to continue to do well. I got this turkey hunting addiction, I want to say it, because I was compelled to do it. I've done it in 9 states and 1 state in Mexico. And when you get around, you find out about different regulations. Some of the states I hunted in, I didn't really have very good experiences because there's too much hunting pressure focused at one time. And the birds don't gobble as much, for instance, and the opportunities are just, there's more hunter interference. So I really am a fan of what we've done here in Wisconsin, and I hope we stick to these regulations that really help protect the birds and as well as the quality of the hunting experience.
It's so much different from, let's say, the 90 deer gun season here. I don't think we're ever going to change. Of course, now we have seasons on deer that start in September and end in, January.
That's right.
But the pressure in that 9 days is so great. And I've actually, I saw somebody, there was a poll or something done of what's your favorite hunting season. And turkeys now, I think, top the list.
If you're asking people's opinion, I think that people enjoy their turkey hunting more than anything. It doesn't come with the competition factor that many deer hunters feel, for that big buck. If a big buck is sighted in an area, it's gone from zero, Larry. In 1983, Wisconsin held the first spring turkey hunt. So it went from zero in 1982, and now it's the second most popular hunting opportunity in the state, only to deer as far as the number of licenses or tags sold. So it's clearly up there. If it's not the top, it's right up there.
Well, and I think satisfaction-wise, it may be the top.
Yeah. My goodness.
I spent many enjoyable hours out there, you go for a season. In fact, the season just ended, the final season just ended here in Wisconsin. I think it was yesterday.
Yes, you're correct.
But so you only have a set, kind of a week that you've got. This year I was definitely ill the week of my week. Oh. So I didn't even get to go, even though I had my license and everything else. I think the most fun times I've had, out in the field are with my daughter sitting in a little tent, and watching everything else that goes by and the sounds as you were describing them. In the morning, as dawn's breaking, and especially if you're, for me, being with a daughter, it was not to be believed, at least for a great time, for me anyway. Donna in Washburn has a story for us, I think. Hi, Donna.
Hi. I've been having some interesting interactions with turkeys here. It started with my dog delivering an unbroken egg to my door. And I suspected after that he had been feasting on turkey eggs for several days because he was full and his farts were really stinky. So I believe he was harvesting those eggs and then brought me one. And I live in the woods, and I have lots and lots of turkeys around here. But then another interesting thing, I also have a lot of ravens. And down my road, I found a whole bunch of, maybe a dozen, of broken shells. So I'm kind of curious if you have any idea what might be going on there between the dogs and the turkeys and the ravens.
Probably no relationship. Well, maybe. I don't know. What do you think, Paul?
You know, turkeys are ground nesters. So their nests are pretty vulnerable to lots
raccoons,
of things.
Dogs.
Raccoons, opossums, skunks, coyotes, dogs. So I would encourage Donna to keep her dog on a leash or closer because wild bird eggs are protected. We don't want to damage them by any means. If another wild animal happens into it, that's part of the ecosystem there. But they're extremely vulnerable. I will just add that turkeys will re-nest if they lose a nest. It's not too late for them to start up again. One of my favorite trail cam pictures I've ever received was had the date stamp on it, and it was late August, and it was a hen with some poults that were probably just 2 weeks old. So they hatched. That would have been a re-nesting event, and it's another testament to the hardiness of this species that's allowed it to occupy all 72 counties. But Donna, I would try to keep your dog a little closer and not get into the turkey nest if possible.
This time of year, especially. Yeah.
Yeah.
And thank you very much for calling. You interviewed many of the people involved with the turkey reintroduction. Of course, you couldn't interview them all. What sticks with them?
You know, I was so privileged, Larry, to be able to speak with, and we had two of them at our 50th anniversary celebration in Madison on May 17th. Ron Nicholas and John Nelson were both involved. And Ron Nicholas was really the head of the field operations. He met that aircraft on January 21st, 1976, and took the birds out and released them. And those two gentlemen came and shared stories with us. They both said this was the privilege of their wildlife careers to start this. And when they started it, no one really knew where it would go. I also was able in January to interview Ed Frank of Madison, who was a wildlife manager with the DNR in 1976. But to show you just a little bit about how fragile some of these parts of history are and how wonderful it is to be able to speak with living history. But Ed Frank told me in that story that if an Iowa had done a successful reintroduction the previous year or two, also with Missouri birds, but Ed said, if Iowa could do it, we knew we could. And he gave, it was a little bit of a jab, you know, Iowa, Wisconsin, a little bit rivalry. But he said, we knew we had better habitat. And Wisconsin does have a lot more of the habitat that wild turkeys were known to really do well in. So Ed Frank passed away between January and our May celebration, and he wasn't able to be there in person, but he was in spirit, and hopefully through recorded interviews and things, we can also keep legacy of this success story. But Larry, to a person, they were just so looking back now, they're just felt like this was the highlight of their career.
It's an amazing story. And now I think, to hunt wild turkeys, you have to buy a stamp along with the license. But the stamps generate pretty good amount of money every year.
Yeah.
$750,000 last year or something like that.
You're correct. And that money is used on habitat projects that benefit all wildlife and plant species too. Because, for instance, one of the activities that's done with stamp money is prescribed burns. That helps native vegetation also, as well as many wildlife species. So it's a tremendous success story, Larry, on every single, I like to sometimes say, it hits on all cylinders. And I would say this is an 8-cylinder engine, and it's hitting on all of them.
Kevin had emailed us. He lives in Blue Mounds area and wonders, seems to be an overpopulation. Is there such a thing? Can overpopulation create problems?
I think there's always a chance that something could be overpopulated. But with a bird like a wild turkey, there's no guarantee in life for them. They do eat smaller things, but they're also preyed on by a bunch of things, especially in that first year of life, first weeks and months especially. But I have seen no sign that there's too many wild turkeys in Wisconsin, and I've never had a biologist say that was the case. So I think that nature moderates their numbers just fine.
I have some farm friends who live near Janesville, and they will see occasionally on their farm 70, they'll count them in a field. But I also notice that they will, I think, verify this, that it seems like when the first weekend of the hunting season opens, they seem to have all disappeared, kind of.
they've got tremendous sight and hearing, and they are often looking out for each other. They're in groups, a lot. And those big groups are typically through the winter, Larry.
Yeah.
And then so they would start to disperse in late March, early April, when the first hunting season starts. Well, maybe that's another key to their success.
I think you're right about that, Paul. Well, the story you wrote for the Journal Sentinel is just a fascinating story. For me, it brought back so many memories because I remember interviewing folks before this even started about the plans and how they were going to go, and I've sort of followed over the years, all these years, the successes and the it's been a real treat. It was a real treat to read your piece because it brought back a lot of great memories for shows that we've done over the years. And I want to thank you for being with us today. It was a real pleasure to talk with you, Paul.
My pleasure, Larry. I would say the only thing that could rival, the wild turkey reintroduction success could only come close to your career.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. And we probably won't have a chance to talk again, but I hope I see you down the road. Thanks, Paul.
I hope so, too. Thank you so much, Larry.
Paul Smith, outdoor editor at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. If you can get a hold of that story that he wrote about the reintroduction, we didn't get into everything for sure, but we covered a lot of it. But there's still more that you can learn from that story that Paul put together. Great to have him with us. Well, tomorrow's Whooping Crane Day. Did you know that? Just in time to celebrate, we're talking about these beautiful endangered birds next. I'm Larry Mueller.